God has given us to listen to his word. We thank him. Indeed, he is faithful. And just to take us back to yesterday, we were looking at being up the seed of Abraham. And one of the things that we considered is that when we speak of the seed of Abraham, we speak of Christ, and Christ is the seed of Abraham. And we become partakers of the same blessing of the seed of Abraham through Christ, who is the one who was given the promise. And one of the things that we were able to say is that you must understand that a promise was given by God first, himself, even before the law. And the law was given 430 years later, but the promise cannot be cancelled by the law. And that is one of the things that we really have to understand and make a difference. And when we understand that, then we are able to know that we that are partakers of that promise of Abraham and God and his seed, who is Christ, then it is superior to the law. So today we'll try and see that relationship between the law and the promise, and try to be able to establish why the law is given. I know it's something that we've looked at, but there's always a blessing in looking at things again. So let's look at from verse 15. Okay, maybe let's look from verse 13. The Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So one of the things that we're able to establish is that the law came with a curse. And one of the curses of the law is that if you want to be established in righteousness by the law, you must continue to do every written requirement that is written. And the question was, if you fail in one, you have failed in all. And it was not possible to keep that law because of the people. The people, you know, the weakness was not in the law, but the weakness was in the people. And so anyone that attempted to justify himself by the keeping of the law, then it is no longer of faith, but then it is self-effort. Now, when you think you can achieve your righteousness by self-effort, then you deceive yourself. And even ministry, if you think you can do ministry by self-effort, you will find that you are tired, you'll find that you're exhausted, you'll find that you're fighting with people. But when you depend on God, when you depend on his grace, when you just know that it is him doing the work, and your job is to wait to see what is God saying, to be sensitive to his voice. Is God saying it is time to move? Move then. Is God saying it is time to stop? Stop. Is God saying move? You know, when you learn those movements of the Spirit, then you are carried by the wind of the Spirit. You know, when we speak of eagles, they say eagles don't fly against the wind. They just know how to take advantage of the wind and they glide. So when they see the wind, they either rise above it or they are carried by the wind, and they are able to move. Likewise, we too as believers, we must be those that are carried by the wind of the Spirit. Think of it when Jesus says that those that are born of the Spirit, they shall be like the wind, because no one knows where the wind comes from or where it goes, but so shall it be of those born of the Spirit. So when you're born of the Spirit, then you are not under the law, but then you are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is able to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Spirit is able to guide you, you know, correct you, you know, ensure that you reach where God wants you to reach. So that is the difference between men that are carried by grace. You know, the Bible says men of old, they spoke of God's word as they were carried along by the Spirit of God. So there is a carrying that happens when we are light, when we are light, when we are in that place where we are able to be lifted, able to be moved by God. But you see, unfortunately, when we are rigid in our own ways, then we become a stumbling block, and then we become like those Pharisees. The Pharisees could not understand what Jesus was doing. They could not agree that Jesus was healing someone, you know, on the Sabbath. And Jesus asked them clearly, if you, your own donkey, falls into a pit on a Sabbath, are you going to leave it there? No, you're going to pick it. And he tells them that the law was meant for man, not man for the law. You know, the Sabbath was made for man. And beyond that, he says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. So we must always know that Christ is superior to the law of Moses. And even when you think of another analogy, when Peter and James and John go to the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was praying and his countenance is altered. And when the two persons appeared, Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and Peter says, let me make three tents for you, Moses and Elijah and Jesus. But then immediately the cloud swallows them up, because to him he's thinking they are the same level, but they are not. Christ is superior to the law, to the prophets, and it comes as a fulfillment of them. So they all point to Christ. The laws, the prophets, all point to Christ. But you see, you find the people that still want to be justified for salvation by the keeping of the law. Now, anyone who tries that, anyone who thinks they can do that, the scripture is telling us that you are under a curse. Now, verse 15 says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only if it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abram and his seed, which is in capital S, were the promises made. He does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Now, remember, us, we are immersed in Christ. We are included in Christ. So when you read this blessing, you see that the promises were made to Abraham and us in Christ. Abraham and his seed. Now, remember, think of all those blessings that were given to Abraham. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will give you the nations. In you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That is why you must know that you have a national blessing, that all nations of the earth shall be blessed through your ministry, through what you do. And that is why when you understand that you are included in Christ, then you are basically fulfilling what Christ would have done if he was on the earth. So you are an extension of that, because Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but he now comes to live through us. Each and every one of us are an extension of Christ, of the Spirit of Christ on the earth, just like the same Spirit of Christ worked in the Old Testament, worked on Jesus, and worked on the apostles in the same way he is working in our lives today. Verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So the covenant, or rather the covenant of Moses and with the Israelites, the old covenant, it came 430 years after God had made the promise to Abraham. Remember, God promised Abraham, I will make you great. He said, your descendants will inherit the earth. And God told him that when Abraham believed, God credited it to him as righteousness. So he was already given a righteousness that is by faith. And that righteousness is for us who believe by faith. Now, the law of Moses comes 430 years, and this is the time period the children of Israel were in Egypt as slaves. And then now that covenant comes, and they make that covenant. But you see, that covenant was between men and God. But the promise of God was God made by himself. He made it by himself. And for me, I think that the best place where to latch on is the promises that God makes by himself. Because for us, weaknesses are found in us. For us, if even what the scripture says, that he is faithful even when we are faithless. because he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. We ourselves, human beings, can be faithless, but he cannot deny himself. Verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Now let's just explain this. He's asking, what was the purpose of the law? That's the law of Moses, the old covenant, the Ten Commandments. Why was it given? It's saying it was added because of transgressions. That means that it was added because of sins. It was added to show people their sin. If you look at another version, why was the law given at all? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sin, but the law was designed to last only until the coming of the seed, the child who was promised. When God gave the law, he gave it first to angels, they gave it to Moses, his mediator, who then gave it to the people. Now, a mediator does not represent just one party alone, but God fulfilled it all by himself. Now, the fulfillment of where God did it by himself is the promise. But you see, the law was given through a mediator. Now, the mediator was not needed for God's promise to Abraham. A mediator was not needed. But a mediator was needed for the covenant. And that is why Moses was in between the people and God. Moses went, received the message. He was given the tablets. And then he comes back with it. And he tells the people, this is what your God says. And the people said, no, we don't want to speak to God. You tell us what God says. We will do. And then he asked them, will you keep? They said, you will keep. So these are the blessings for obedience. Yeah, we'll be blessed. And then these are the curses for disobedience. And they are very heavy. You know, Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 29, even Deuteronomy 27. You'll find all the curses and all the blessings for obedience. Now, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? No. Certainly not, for if there had been a law given which would have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard or under prison by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So what we see clearly is that the law comes to lead us to Christ. It comes to show us our sins. It comes to guide us, because at times people might not really understand what does this new covenant life mean. What does it mean? So at times it was needed that they have a tutor to show them, okay, these are the Ten Commandments, obey. These are the ceremonial laws. These are the ritual laws. You can keep this. Don't do this. Clean your house like this. You know, throw excreta here. Do this. You know, after you're unclean, stay this period out. All this were given to show them the way of holiness. You know, when they're told do not mix two garments of the same design, it's not that there's anything wrong with having, you know, polyester and cotton that is mixed of two garments. No, but it was about mixture. They were being told about not how not to mingle with sinners and how not to intermarry. And all these things were pointing towards sin, you know, how they should be pure, how they should purify themselves. So in every way, the law was there as a tutor. It was not to lead people to righteousness, because if truly it led people to righteousness, then there was no need for the righteousness that is by faith. But you see, everyone is under sin. The scriptures confined all under sin. The scriptures make it clear that the whole world is imprisoned by sin, such that because sin has imprisoned everyone, then we know that it is done so until Christ might come, the promise by faith, the righteousness or the justification that is by faith might come to those who believe in Jesus Christ. So before faith came, we were all under God, we were all under prison by the law. And that is why you find there are people who are still prisoners of the law. The Jews are still prisoners of the law. Those of the other faiths are still prisoners under the law. Why? Because they think that their human effort is what will take them to heaven. But yet we know the justification that is by faith speaks that it is our faith in Christ, what he has done on the cross, that takes us to heaven. So, but before faith came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, verse 24, the law was our tutor, or it was our schoolmaster, King James. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. So, faith is what was the ultimate goal. God wanted to bring us to faith. And he only succeeds when the Christ has come. And verse 26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the law comes as a schoolmaster. But then when we are under Christ, then we come into the fullness of it. But let us just jump to chapter 4 and look at those verses, because it also speaks about the comparison between the law and the promise. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. So, even so, when we were children, we were born in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So you can see that scripture is saying that, yes, we are now sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. However, as long as we are still children, and this is giving a comparison of any rich man, those that leave inheritances for their children. When their children are under 18, they don't leave that money for them. They put it under trustees. They put it under lawyers who keep that money until the children come of age. And some even go to certain measures where they tell them if they go to college, they will get this amount. If they get married in a proper way, they'll get to this amount. If they stay in marriage for 10 years, they will get this amount. Like, by every means, the parents want them to reach certain milestones before they receive that inheritance that they are to give. Now he's saying that even us, the law was given as a guardian in such a way. And even when Christ came, he was born of a woman, born under the law. But there was a purpose to it, such that he can redeem those who are under the law, take us from that place where we're being tutored, and such that we might now fully receive the adoption as sons of God. And remember, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And when it says full adoption as sons, you have to think of the Roman times, where when someone was adopted as a son, they receive every right of inheritance. That means he takes your name and he will inherit everything that is for you. Now, because we are adopted as sons, Now, how does God adopt us as a son? Remember, he gives us his spirit. Now, when the spirit of God is in us, the spirit helps us to cry, Abba, Father. Now, because of the spirit of God in us, God now makes us his son. And that was the aspect where we learned about being begotten of the Father. We are begotten by the spirit of God entering our spirit and making us alive. That means we are given that nature of God, that thing that God looks in us and calls us his sons. Why? Because we have his spirit. We have his DNA. We have his seed. And that is why the Bible says, now that you have come to Christ, you are no longer a slave, because under the law, you are a slave. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was a jailer. The law was a guardian, keeping us as slaves. But then, now that we have come to Christ, to the fullness of Christ, we have received that blessing and the promise of the Holy Spirit. So remember, the blessing that we're learning, the greatest blessing that God can ever give you is his spirit. Why? And because when he gives you his spirit, he marks you to be his son. And now when you're his son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. That means that every inheritance that God will give, every inheritance that God has given Christ, when the Bible tells us that he has given him all dominion, all power, all authority, all the nations, he shall rule them with an iron fist, then now you are a partaker of those blessings that are given to Christ Jesus. And you are in Christ. Remember, your life is now hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. Your real life is in Christ. Now that you are an heir of God through Christ, every promise that is for Christ is yours. And that is why we exercise the power of Christ. That's why we exercise the love of Christ. That's how you know that when you're touching people, when you're working in the office, you're revealing Christ to the world. Christ represents our union with him. Remember, Christ is not just the spirit. He's also the union of the believers and Jesus. Remember, he is our head. We are his body. We are united in Christ. There is this union that we have in Christ, that we are one with him. And that is when now you fully walk into your inheritance. And when you have this mindset, remember, Christ means the anointed one. Now, link it to the message of the anointing. Now, when you are an heir of God through Christ, that means you are anointed. You have the anointing. You know, you have the mindset of the anointed. Then you know that everything works for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When you face certain troubles, you know, it is working for my good. When you face a challenge, you know that you will overcome it. When good things are happening, you know, yes, it is because of the anointing, the Christus, that you are in Christ, you are immersed in Christ, you are a son of God. And you exercise that authority that God has given. You are no longer under the law. It is not by your effort again. Because the law is by your effort. The law is seeking justification by human effort. But justification is by faith when you are in Christ. And you are no longer under a tutor or a guardian, but you are under Christ. I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this and more reflections. Brother, you're welcome. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. I can hear you now.
I said no additions from my side.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Sure, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we give you glory, we honor your holy name. We thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the redemption that is in you, that is in Christ, that you brought us into unity with you. We are united with you, O God. We are not apart from you. And by this you have made us sons, and we are fully sons, not under the law or under guardians again, but we have received the full adoption as sons, and by which, by your Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. And I thank you for the Spirit of your Son that has come in us, that has come to minister life to us, to minister hope to us. I pray that this word shall take root in our lives, that we shall be guided, protected, strengthened, O God, in all that we do, O God. We shall experience the blessing of God. We shall experience the hand of God. We shall experience the power of God in our families. We shall walk in truth, walk in favor, walk in grace. Indeed, we shall walk in victory, O God. Give us strength and power, O God. Protect and watch over us. At the end of the day, all glory and honor goes back to you. Guide our steps, watch over us, and keep us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.